Welcome to the Ride With Us podcast, presented by the American Coaster Enthusiasts, the world's largest ride enthusiast organization dedicated to the appreciation, promotion, and preservation of roller coasters around the globe. So please keep your hands and feet inside the podcast at all times as we welcome in your host.
Hello, enthusiasts. It's your host, Jessica Gardner. March is Women's History Month. So before the end of the month, we figured we should feature some awesome ace ladies. Later in the podcast, you will hear from Chris Leach, who is Ace Care's coordinator. But first, I am sitting here with member and friend of the podcast who recently has started up a very exciting group called Women Love Coasters. Please welcome Brishe Reed. Welcome back to Ride With Us, Bree.
Thank you for having me. Hello, everybody. Excited to be back talking to you, Jessica.
Let's remind everybody about who you are and where you're from.
Yes. The last time you probably heard my voice on, well, not probably, but the last time you heard my voice on this podcast, I was, which was about a year ago, actually, I was the president of Melon Coaster Network. Since then, I have transitioned out of that role, focusing more on my enthusiast journey because I still am kind of new. So I am like hungry for, you know, my own experience in coasters and traveling. And I figured, you know, I've built that up to where it could sustain without me. So now is a chance for me to really get my own experience in coasters and develop myself as an enthusiast and also a content creator, because I was doing that before I was with Melon and Coaster Network. I wasn't doing it for long, but that's what I started out doing. So I've been focusing more on that and creating Women Love Coasters because I'm learning about myself. I'm a community builder. I like to do that. And I figured this is a way to get women together, to find other women in the community who can, you know, become friends, ride buddies, and just highlight other women and content creators in this community and do less work as the president of a whole club by just having one event per year. So I figure that's a good balance for me as I continue along my enthusiast journey. So another community that I'm a part of is called the Bluesiest, Black Enthusiasts, and I'm excited to go to my first meetup with them this summer at Six Flags Fiesta, Texas. We're going to the Roller Coaster Rodeo event that the park is putting on, and it's going to be amazing. It's the weekend after Hollywood Nights, which I am going to as well, and we will have an all-women's train takeover on every coaster. Yes. If you all want it, we can do it. But Six Flags Fiesta, Texas for the rodeo event, that's going to be so fun. It is really going to be the largest gathering of Black enthusiasts to date. And
where can people find out more about the Bluesiest group?
They can find out more on Facebook. There's a Facebook group called the Bluesiest. And then there's also an Instagram for the Bluesiest. I'm sure there are going to be more information coming about the Bluesiest, how you can join. Right, there's no fee or anything. It's not a club or anything, so there's no fee to join. If you are a Black enthusiast, you are technically a Bluesiest. But if you want to learn more about what we are doing, then yes, you can go to those pages and follow along, and see you at the rodeo.
Bree, where do you live right now?
I'm in Washington, D.C.
You're in Washington, and your home park is?
Six Flags America.
Six Flags America. Do you have a favorite coaster there?
Superman. That's Superman. The one that turned me into an enthusiast.
That turned you into an enthusiast, but I remember from the MCN episode that it was Scooby-Doo.
That was my first coaster that got me loving coasters, but the coaster that like flipped that light switch on was Superman.
What was it about Superman?
And the thing is, it wasn't my, when I rode it, on August 7th, 2022. I call that my enthusiast birthday. When I wrote it that day, it was not the first time I'd been on it. I've been on it before. It just had been over a decade. And I don't know, it's just something, as the kids say, it hit different that time. Like, I hadn't been on a coaster that high in over a decade. I hadn't been on, before that I was on a wild one, and before that I hadn't been on one for over a decade. So it was very new, but it just woke something up in me that I literally, before the end of the ride, I was like, I'm never losing this feeling again. And then that hunger and that drive to learn more and to experience more, I don't know what it was about that, because now I ride and I'm like, okay, this is good, but you know, I've been on better now. But at that time, it was enough to get me into all of this. I just became, I don't know, like the coaster nerd in me really woke up.
I think a lot of our listeners could definitely relate to that. I know I can for sure. There's like nothing specifically like magical about the coaster, but to me, there was just something that flipped a switch in my head that said, wait, more.
Yeah, more I want this. More of this. More of this.
I recently watched a live that you did.
Oh, thank you for watching.
About when you went to your first time at Carowinds and riding Fury 325. And there was something that you said that I don't have it exactly here, but you said something to the effect of that you are not the type of person who gets excited about things in real life. Like, you're not like a like screamer and excited and jumping up and down kind of person.
Yeah.
Except when it comes to roller coasters.
Except that. Like, my family will tell you that I am not, like, good news, bad news, I'm very stoic, kind of. I don't have reactions to things, like, you know, it's like I am very, in outside of coasters, I'm very kind of like, I don't know, I'm just not excitable. My coworkers don't even think I smile.
Oh, jeez. That's not the you that I know, but I've been following you.
Exactly. Like, because we're not at a park. So what is there to smile about? I'm in my office, you know, doing my work. But I crack jokes here and there at work. But they don't know the side of me that a park and coasters bring out. And I don't know. It just happened that way. Like, I don't know. Coasters just brought that out of me. It's made me a happier person. Like, it's made me, I don't know, it's changed me for the better, I would say. I'm more expressive. I don't know. And it trickles down to, like, as a mother, I think that's part of it too. Like, as a mother, I'm focusing on, like, my son all the time and focusing on, like, myself as a mom to him and what I can give to him. And coasters is something that feeds me and gives me something to be excited about, whereas everything else in life is, like, how can I make his life the best or whatever? Like, this is something that I can do to fill up my cup. And it fills up my cup way more than I ever thought it would. And yeah, it's been a great journey.
And you've found so many different communities through it. Now, first of all, you're an ACE member, right?
Yes,
of course. I knew that. Do you remember when you joined ACE?
October 2022, October,
right.
November, something like
right
that.
Right after you became a crazy fan.
Yes.
Fan of coasters. You said, I have to join ACE. And you know, I think that that's so, so great. And that's something that you're able to focus on and just do just because it's for you and that you love it. But I have to ask, is your son tall enough to ride roller coasters, and does he ride any of them?
He has about 10 credits, maybe.
Okay.
The biggest one he's been on so far is Big Bear Mountain.
Nice.
I took him to Dollywood last summer. So he did that. That was one of those, if you ride this one with me, I'll ride something else with you that I don't really like, and like, we'll trade off. You know, that's the only bribe I do. Other than that, if it's a hard no, then I don't push him. He's not really into it yet, but again, he's 6 now. Like back then he was 5, but when I was last on the show, but now he's 6. He should be 48 inches. I'm going to take him to King's Dominion soon, like next month, probably in April, and get him measured. And I'm hoping, this is what my plan is.
Let's hear it.
When I do take him to King's Dominion and he's actually 48 inches, I want to get some of my enthusiast friends to come so it can kind of be like a celebration day. And whatever coasters he wants to try, at least he knows he has a community ready to embrace him in this. Right now, he wants to ride Reptilian, which is a bobsled coaster, for those who may not know, at King's Dominion. He wants to ride that. I think it's a really good ride for him because even if he's not 48 inches, he can still ride with me at 42 inches, I believe. And that's something that where I can hold him, he can feel safe and he can feel secure. I'm right there, but it's also a big enough coaster where he can like build up that confidence. So he picked that out as what he wanted to be his first big ride. So we've been talking about it in the off season. I've been showing him POVs of it, trying to get him comfortable with what the ride does. So, and again, if it's a hard no when we get there, then it's a hard no when we get there. But I would like, whenever I find that date, for my enthusiast friends to come out and, you know, welcome a new 48-inch member.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Gonna get him a little ACE membership or something.
I know. I need to get a family plan.
That exists. You could do that.
Yeah, I know.
So, okay. Tell us about, let's get into Women Love Coasters. Because I saw this, I wasn't sure at first that it was from you, and then I got like a message from you, and you're like, hey, this is me. And I was like, yes, hello, follow, sign me up, whatever this is. I love it. So tell me, what led you to start that?
Because I came into my enthusiast life with a community by finding the Facebook group that became MCN. And then no longer being there, I was like, I still want community. Mm-hmm. And that club was one side of my identity as a Black person. But the other side of my identity is I'm a woman. So, and I noticed that, again, the content creators that I saw that were big out there, most of them were men. And I know that there are other women out there who create content like I was doing. So I'm like, well, maybe I can start a community just for women. I didn't see any other any communities out there really focusing on women enthusiasts. So I'm like, well, let me just start it and see what happens. I just wanted to share experiences of women at parks and you know. And then I had an idea. I was like, well, maybe one meetup a year. I can do that. Time-wise, planning-wise, is not too much for my plate. So that's why I was like, oh, we'll do one event far, far away from, you know, when I started Women Love Coasters, which will now be in August, which is not so far away. But I just wanted to be a part of a community that I didn't see was there, which kind of was the same with MCN, but I was asked to help do that. This is something where it's me doing it, you know, my brainchild that I can create as I see fit.
And yeah, tell people who might not know what it is how would they find it? And is there a website? And what do you need to do to be part of it? Like, kind of explain it.
Yeah, it's really just follow Women Love Coasters on Instagram and follow Women Love Coasters on join the Facebook group. There's no membership. It's not a membership based thing at all. It really is like every woman that I see that likes coasters, I'm like adding them on Instagram and they immediately follow back. And I'm like, yes. And then when I see that they post that they're at a park, you know, I share it. And just to give us more visibility in the community, and then just, you know, saying, hey, well, I'm giving everyone visibility, let's all kind of come together as well once a year. And I plan on having the event in August, which is at Six Flags Darien Lake on August 1st. We're going to Canada's Wonderland August 2nd and 3rd. And then we're going over to the Franken Coaster on top of the Burger King in Niagara. I believe it's in Niagara. That's where we're going on August 4th, which is, you know, that's a long trip. But it gives people a chance to dip in and dip out wherever you want to come. So you, if you don't want to go to Canada's Wonderland, you want to join us at Six Flags Darien Lake, do that. You know, it's not meant to be come all every day. It's not that type of thing. It's just giving us a chance to actually meet each other, because that's ultimately what I hope, is that we all meet and we can do this once a year and get together and just, you know, have a little sisterhood in coasters.
Well, I, as you know, I'm going to be there for one of the days. It just worked out so perfectly. I was supposed to be up in that area in September, and then the dates got moved to August. And I said, I think that's when the Women Love Coasters event is. And sure enough, I can be there for the for one of the Canada's Wonderland days. And I've never been to that park, so I'm really excited.
New credits!
I know. I'm going to be crazy that day.
I'm excited. I haven't been to any of those parks, so I'm really going to be on my credit hunt.
I'm very excited. I have so many things. I mean, I could talk about this for an hour, but I won't. So, you know, at ACE, whenever we have a coaster con or some sort of group, convention like that, we always have these certain types of rides, whether it be the LGBTQ ride, you know, the people of color ride, like certain meetups that we'll have for people to get on roller coasters and ride together. And the idea is you're supposed to maybe step out of your comfort zone and maybe meet someone that you haven't met, take a group photo. And there's always a women's ride. Always there's a women's ride. And I know my personal opinion about it, but I would love to hear for you why you think a group spotlighting women is important.
I don't think there can ever be enough visibility of women, especially in this industry. When you, even from like the engineers on down to the enthusiasts, if you talk about the people who are visible, the majority are going to be men. I think it's very important to highlight and to make visible women in a space that is more male heavy, because you never know what that visibility can do to a younger girl who might be into this but not see someone like herself that is really like big and doing it out, you know, doing it big. I know when I was watching content online, trying, you know, when my coaster nerd started up in 2022, I was watching El Toro Ryan, which was majority like the Coaster Idiots, men. They're, you know, a group of men. I was watching Airtime Thrills. Who else was I watching? I'm trying to, it was a while ago. Those were the main two that I first started watching. And I was like, where are the women and where are the black women? So for me, I want to be able to show the broader community, like the smaller marginal communities that exist in this, including like women who do this, because you never know the inspiration that, you know, I've had people come to me and say that my YouTube or my content has inspired them. They bought a GoPro and like they're gonna start a YouTube page, and it feels good, because I didn't see that when I first started out. Not saying it didn't exist, because I just didn't know or see that, you know, in the quick searches. That's not who were getting the big views and numbers. So I really want, you know, for women to see other women doing it, so that they can maybe, you know, that seed might be planted in them, and then the more of us that are doing it, then it'll just spread and it will all become more visible.
Have you ever wanted to work in the coaster industry?
You know what's funny? Like I said before in like my first interview, like I hadn't been on a coaster in over 10 years, but I loved roller coasters when I was younger, like, I didn't care about flat rides. I still don't, except for when I go to Canada's Wonderland. I'm going to ride the flats. Don't worry, guys.
Yeah.
But I loved coasters so much. I loved parks so much that at one point I wanted to run a park. And this was, like, in high school. But how do you get into that? Like, I didn't want to be a ride op because it was hot, because we only went to Six Flags in the summer, or we only went to parks in the summer, so it was always hot. And I was like, oh, that looks miserable. Shout out to the ride ops. We love you. Thank you. But I was like, I can't do that. One, I'm not driving. Who's going to bring me all the way out to Six Flags to work? I can't. That's not going to work out for me. But I used to walk around the park just wanting to, like, run it. And, like, I wanted to know more about who owns this. And then I went into PR for college, and I was like, PR, parks. But then that's when I started, like, moving away from going to parks. But I actually at one point wanted to learn more about working at a park, what goes into that, and running it.
Well, I think you could. I'm just saying. I think that... You are, like you said, a community builder. You've built two communities now in the short amount of time since you say you've been a coaster nerd. It seems that people like to rally around you and get, you know, you're one of those connectors, like they say. So I don't know. But tell me more about your personal content creation, or tell everybody else more, because I know about it. But tell everybody about it.
Yeah. So my content is on YouTube. It's mostly POVs. But I try to vlog every now and then. Vlogging just takes longer to edit and put together. Like, I'm sitting on content from Orlando Informer from back in November that I need to put out.
Oh, my gosh.
But, I mean, my Carowinds vlog is doing pretty well. But, yeah, you can find my content on YouTube. Zero Breroll is the name on everything. And I'm trying to just, like, I'm testing out a bunch of different content because, again, I'm still new. So I'm like, do I want to vlog? Do I just want to do POVs? But I'm not going to limit myself. I'm going to try a little bit of everything. And recently I did the live on Sunday talking about my first trip to Carowinds and riding Fury. And that was so much fun. That was so much fun to do that I'm going to do it monthly. I just don't know, like, you know, what it's going to be about every month, but I want to go live every month and have guests come on and talk. And I guess it's like a visual podcast that I'm feeling like I'm being drawn to doing, as well as the POVs and vlogs. But you can go in there and you can see me riding coasters, because I love doing POVs. And I like showing my day when it's, you know, when I have the time to edit it, to put it together with my vlogs. But I definitely am going to start going live more frequently, because that's very fun. I like the interaction with people, getting questions, answering questions. And, you know, it's just really, really fun. So that's kind of my content right now.
Nice. Good for you. I honestly enjoyed your live so much. I laughed a lot. I laughed out loud. There's so many things that you said that just, you know, were off the cuff, like talking about not feeling the trim brakes. And I'm not going to say what you're talking about, but working in Canva. You're talking about something at a park reminded you of something you did in Canva. I was laughing so hard.
Y'all have to go watch the live to get all the references, but I had my glass of wine and I didn't hold back. I didn't hold back. I'm respectful. I'm always respectful, but I didn't hold back.
And what is the future? What do you see about the future of Women Love Coasters? Like, what is, like, in dream scenario, what would you love to see?
Dream scenario, Women Love Coasters, our event, our annual event, will become as big as CoasterCon, but just majority women and us doing our thing. Mm-hmm. And that's how big I would like it to get.
That being said, if there are people who do not identify as women listening, how would you feel about them being at the events?
They can come. They can come. Because it's about visibility. So if they come and they see all these other women there too, then that's giving the women there more visibility as well. They just know that the event is centering women, but that doesn't exclude anybody else from coming.
So if you're there, you're someone who supports and encourages women in this industry or as a fandom or as enthusiasts.
Yeah. Yes. Like if you don't identify as a woman and you want to come, of course, you are more than welcome. But I would charge you to bring a woman with you so we can help build the community.
I love it. Bree, any last thoughts? Anything else that you want to say to all your ACE member friends that are listening?
I love ACE. I brought my son to Sunny Days last year at Sesame Place. He didn't ride the coasters. He was still a little scared, but that's okay because it's just about being in the environment. He loves the environment of parks, and we did the water park and everything. And I brought my dad with me, and that was a really good experience because my dad and I have gotten closer in my older age, and he actually I don't know if I told this story on the last show that I was on or not, but he took me to Six Flags and brought me some Payless shoes to wear, and I was upset because I'm like, I don't want to wear these shoes. I want to wear designer or, you know, Jordan or Nike or whatever. I was so upset, but what I didn't realize is that those shoes had more of a platform than the others, and because he brought me those shoes, I was able to get on coasters that I was too short technically to get on.
Aww.
And so I have a coaster memory with him from back then, but him coming along to that ACE event, he rode Oscar's Wacky Taxi and Vapor Trail, and that was the first time that he'd been on a coaster in like 25 years.
Wow.
So
that's so special.
Yes. So I have a special memory, two special coaster memories attached to my dad now. And one of them is because of the ACE event. So I really appreciate that. And then CocoCon was amazing with ACE. And I really can't wait to get more involved now that I have more time. That's another thing. I have more time now that I'm not running a coaster club that I can actually go to more events with ACE. And that's something that I have been trying to do as time allows.
One other thing I want to plug before we say goodbye for now is that you just recently put out some merch, which I'm so excited to get in the mail. It's Women Love Coasters merch. There's hoodies, there's tank tops, t-shirts, sweatshirts. It's all on there. What's the site for that?
So it is a spreadshirt shop. The link is actually when you go to Women Love Coasters on Instagram, our link tree is in the URL section, the website section of the bio, and it's the first blurb on our link tree. It says Women Love Coasters merch shop. And I just want to point out that the merch there that has the Women Love Coasters logo, all of that merch, the proceeds from that or the profits from that go towards helping me make the events possible, because it's not an event where I'm charging anybody, because I don't yet, unless the parks want to help me out, I don't yet have any special like ERT or anything planned, but I still want it to be a special event, especially because it is the first one that I'm doing. So I want to be able to give out something that's commemorative. So like pins, lanyards, you know, all the things that you normally get. Like I wanted to still have that feel to it. Everything that I do, I joke, but it's the truth. Like WWBD, what would Beyonce do? If Beyonce was planning an event, what would she do to make it special for those people that are coming? And it's the little things and the details, but that takes money. So I figured put out a merch shop. The money that comes from that can pay for the things that make the event possible.
I think it's been confirmed that Beyonce is actually a roller coaster fan, because there is videos of her on Cyclone at Coney Island, right?
Yes, she. So I'm not sure if you watched her Renaissance, the movie, like the concert movie in theaters. For those who have not, there's a section in there where she talks about getting a vocal injury at about 12 years old. and she was on vocal rest. She could not talk at all, but she mentioned going to Astro World with her friends and her family and getting on roller coasters, but just not screaming. And if that's not an enthusiast, then I don't know what is, because a GP will get on a coaster and they will just break their vocal cords and scream because they're scared. But an enthusiast, a true thrill seeker, will get on the ride just for the feeling of it and not have to say a word or open their mouth. They just are enjoying the experience. And if that's not a fellow enthusiast, then I don't know what is.
She's in the club. She knows.
Yes.
She's there. All right. I'm just going to manifest this, that Beyonce is going to perform at a Women Love Coasters. Or at least show up.
Speaking of another goal. So just putting it out there to manifest it, putting it out in the universe.
Let's do it.
I want to ride coasters with Beyonce, with Mariah Carey, who is an enthusiast. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to ride coasters with celebrities and just bring more awareness to coaster enthusiasm as a whole, and also highlighting women, but as a whole, because it's a shame I didn't know that coaster enthusiasts existed until 2022. I am 34 years old right now. I should not have found that out so late. Like, where could I have been if I knew this earlier in life and I started this way long ago? So the more that I can share this community with others and get more high visible people, I'm saying visible a lot, but you know what I mean, like get people to draw eyes on what we, to bring eyes to what we're doing, that is the ultimate dream.
I love it. I think that's the perfect note to end on. And Bree, I just appreciate you so much coming back on here, connecting with all of us. And I cannot wait for the event in August. And everybody check out @ZeroBreeRoll and @WomenLoveCoasters to keep in touch with Bree and see everything that Woman Loves Coasters is doing. Thank you, Bree.
Thank you so much, Jessica. So good talking to you again. I can't wait to meet in person.
I look forward to seeing you in August.
You too. Thank you for having me.
This is Bryant Yeager, a correspondent with the Ace Ride With Us podcast. And we are here today with Chris Leach, who is the ACE Cares coordinator. Chris, how are you doing today?
I am fantastic, Bryant. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, we're super happy to have you. Of course, ACE does all kinds of theme park and roller coaster related events, and they do a lot of preservation for parks and rides. But there is another aspect of this that is a little bit more of a serious thing, but in a really good way. So one of the things we're going to talk about today is ACE Cares and how they support Give Kids the World. So Chris, can you tell me a little bit about Give Kids the World, their mission, and how ACE Cares works into their purpose?
Absolutely. So ACE Cares got started back in 2011 with ACE member Dave Lipnicki, who made connections for this little activity called Coasting for Kids. And Give Kids the World Village is an 89-acre resort area in Kissimmee, Florida, that welcomes children with and their families with chronic and critical illnesses as wish granters. What that happens is a child who has an illness can apply to a wish-granting partner, and if one of their wishes is to go to Central Florida, the wish-granting organization, like Make-A-Wish or a Special Wish, those are two of them, there are many others, they make the contact with Give Kids the World Village and help partner with the family to make this wish trip happen. Back in 1986, a hotelier from the area, Henry Landworth, he owned a huge Holiday Inn. And one of the families that was down there at the time, he met a young lady named Amy. And she was dealing with and going through treatment for leukemia. But her wish was to visit the Orlando theme parks. So another hotelier in the area was asked for a stay for Amy and her family. That person obliged. unfortunately, the travel plans to get it taken care of took too long. And unfortunately, Amy passed away. So her time ran out and her wish wasn't granted. Well, that was one thing that Henry said was unacceptable. So when he started Give Kids the World Village with other colleagues in hospitality and tourism industries in that area, he said, no is not a possibility. So they worked together, and there have been families throughout the years since from 1986 that if it's a very severe need, a critical illness that is taking its toll, they can have families to Central Florida within 24 to 48 hours to make sure that those children make those and the families make those lifelong memories so that they can get a little respite from their doctor's offices and all of those things that go on with being an illness. They don't just focus on the wish kids. They focus on the entire family. So when they visit the village, there are places for mom and dad to be able to hang out. There's a spa. There are game rooms for older family members. There are rides. There are activities that the whole family can do. So now when they got the village put together, it's now 89 acres, and they have about 160 plus villas where the families can stay. It's a two-bedroom villa with a full kitchen, accessible bathrooms, accessible amenities, and they just are able to do things on a whimsical vacation that, air quote, normal families can do as well and not have to worry about costs for that week. They just go and they are a family and they can make those memories for all of the members of the family.
Yeah, it's really great. The research I've done on Give Kids the World, I've noticed that even though the kids might be there to go to the theme parks, it's a very kind of all-encompassing experience. And even Give Kids the World has activities, and they have, theme park rides that are accessible. And, that kind of stuff really stuck out to me.
The awesome part about the theme park rides that are in there, they're little small family flat rides. Most of them have been donated by Zamperla, who is an IAPA member. And Ace is also an IAPA member. So that's kind of why we share the commitment to be able to help out Give Kids the World. But Zamperla donated a couple of their flat rides and noticed that some of the Wish kids who were in wheelchairs and had mobility concerns couldn't get onto the rides. So they said that's not acceptable, just like, Henry did back in the day when they couldn't say no. So Zamperla refabricated a couple of their rides to make them fully wheelchair accessible so that every family member could ride these in the village. In a place called Amberville, they have a small swing ride, they have a train, they have a butterfly ride. It's Lori's Magical Flight, and it has butterflies on it, and you get on there, and it's just a regular kind of small family flat ride. But all of those are wheelchair and differently abled accessible so that everybody can play. It's really kind of cool.
That's really awesome. And of course, Give Kids the World, they do multiple events throughout the year to help, their fundraising efforts to bring these families in. So one of those events, the Gingerbread Run, just took place in February. And I saw a few ACE members posting about it on social media. What did this event entail? How much did it raise for Give Kids the World, and in what ways was ACE involved in those efforts?
So Gingerbread Run has been around for a little while, and actually this was kind of burning in my soul. I am not as athletic as what I look, but back about 8-9 years ago, I got a wild burr and started running and started doing some 5Ks. I can't run as much, but right now I more wog, if you will. I kind of walk jog. But a 5K is 3.1 miles long. It's about 7,000 steps if you're using a pedometer. And so I just thought, you know, what, during those early 5K runs, I personally saw some advertisement or some marketing for the gingerbread run down at the village. And I'm like, oh, I'd love to do that. And I'm thinking, but that's in Florida. So how can I do this? And it kind of, life got on and life got on. And then I got more involved with Give Kids the World and with the Coasting for Kids activities, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But that whole walking a 5K, we do that as enthusiasts every time we walk into an amusement park. You know, I don't know about
absolutely.
You. I don't know about you, but when I look at my pedometer at the end of the day in any given park, on any given event, or even just a day playing, I've done 15 to 20,000 steps. So, you know, 5Ks may sound like they're a lot. 3.14 or 1 mile might sound like it's a lot, but we do those all the time as enthusiasts. So I thought, well, you know, we'll just put a team together because the opportunity came up. And they did it after the pandemic. It used to be in November, and then it went to February. So they called it the, quote, Valentine's edition. Well, it was convenient because my birthday is on Valentine's Day. And I thought, oh, I'd just like to do that for my birthday. Well, one thing happened, another thing happened, and we couldn't get down to the village, but they offered a virtual opportunity. So I took them up on it, and I shared it out with the Ace Cares team at the time, and it became kind of my baby. Now, granted, that first year, it was just me. And while in our big group, just me, I did it because I thought it was really cool. And then I set it out to the next year. And this would have been last year when it got back started again. It was myself and I'm going to throw names out. Jacqueline Antar, who is from Western Great Lakes, and Jenna Piper, who is from, I believe, Mid-Atlantic. And the three of us did the gingerbread run. And last year, the three of us were able to raise about $1,300.
Wow.
So this year, get one more. I was hoping just one more person. That would be great because we, you know, the team expanded. And sure enough, I shared it in Texas at Winterfest back in January. And that day we grew by four. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. This year. So for this year's gingerbread run, Valentine's edition, seven ACE members from around the country were either at the village. Two folks were at the village participating and doing their 5K at Give Kids the World Village through the streets of the village. And then the other five of us were virtual. So that was kind of a cool thing. But together, the seven of us raised almost $1,800.
Very awesome.
Yeah. So altogether, February 2024 raised about $185,000 total. And
wow.
There were about 850 people that participated both in person in the village and virtually from around the country. So it was a really cool experience to know that even though I personally wasn't at the village participating, I was still able to make a difference in a family's life who are going through things that, as a parent of two healthy adult people now, and I have a grandson as well, and we're all healthy, I have no understanding of what these families go through. But, you know, that just kind of drives my passion because I've been blessed. I want to bless others. So that's kind of why I did it. Just a plug. The event is already on the events calendar on aceonline.org website. In November, on November 23rd, it's a Saturday, they're doing the more traditional gingerbread run with a twist, though. It's the holiday version, and they're doing it under the lights. So if any of the listeners were on the Zoom call on the digital meetup with the folks at the village to do the light to the Christmas Lights tour. That's the atmosphere that the new Gingerbread Run is going to be in at the end of the IAPA week. So the registration is already up. Event is already posted on the calendar. So if any of the listeners are interested, you can go to the events page and register, or shoot me an email straight from the events page, and I'll get you hooked up.
Absolutely. Yeah. Plenty of time. Start working on that right now. Plenty of time to plan and attend that fundraising effort. But I want to move on, and you brought this up very briefly, but one of my favorite events that I've participated in a couple times is Coasting for Kids. And that's more of, it's more, much more of a kind of summer fundraising effort, and much more kind of centered around rides. So we don't quite have the dates and the participating parks nailed down, but what is a typical day at a Coasting for Kids fundraising event, and how can ACE members participate and get involved in that?
I love Coasting for Kids. I got involved with that big time in 2019, just prior to pandemic. I was part of a team from a different group over at Kennywood, and I had a chance to meet and spend time with a Wish family. So that kind of kept my passion burning a little bit more. And then come to find out that I've known several families in my experience as an elementary school teacher. I've known a lot of families who have been down to the village. So Coasting for Kids really got me to understand a little bit more personally what was going on. A Coasting for Kids event is a lot like a regional event, traditionally what most ACE members are used to. We have early entry. There is ERT on one or maybe two roller coasters or rides. I can speak to last year's Kennywood event last September. We were able to ride Jackrabbit for an hour, and they had Kangaroo open for us, and the carousel for like an hour and a half. And then we could join the early ride people for any of the other rides that were open. We went about our day and played through the park, and we gathered together for a meal to celebrate our efforts and to celebrate each other and just meet people from other teams and other groups that had come. Coasting for Kids is not an ACE event. It is a park-sponsored event through Give Kids the World, and they partner with various parks around the country to provide these opportunities. It's usually early ERT, enjoy the day with a meal. There are t-shirts to be had at certain fundraising levels. There are other types of incentives at other fundraising levels. I am really, really excited to share, for those of you who haven't heard through the off-season events, that over the years, let me see, in 2023, this was last summer, the Coasting for Kids events, with a generous donation from our executive committee that's kind of started it, but all together we were able to donate $20,303 during last year's event.
Wow.
Some of them have been more. We've been able to share more with the village. Some have been a little less, but altogether since 2011 and the efforts from the very beginnings of that event, the grand total from the ACE community has been just a little over $150,000 sharing to the village. So if you break that down into a Wish week costs the village, because all of the expenses are paid with the exception of souvenirs at the parks and maybe food that has been ordered from the outside. Everything else is provided as part of their wish package. Those wishes, depending on the tickets and the activities that the families want to do, cost anywhere between $5,000 and $7,000 for the week.
Yeah, so that covers a lot of families.
It does. It was really kind of cool. The other thing that was really cool, too, is that ACE and ACE Cares were named as sponsors of the event. So our logo was on the back of the t-shirts for the Coasting for Kids events last year, and they were on all of the marketing, advertising, and anything that was on the website that had to do with Coasting for Kids last year. So that was really, really super awesome.
And of course, there is the ACE Cares team that quote unquote competes at Coasting for Kids to fundraise a certain amount of money. So if you're, you know, an ACE member and some of your other fellow ACE friends are wanting to get involved, you can all get on that ACE Cares team and work together to reach some fundraising goals, which is another fun aspect.
Well, just to kind of toot a horn, if you will, our ACE Cares teams were out of the 14 events that were held last year for Coasting for Kids, we were the number one team in 12 of those events. So we were really blessed last season to be able to share not only our enthusiasm and our passion for roller coasters, but our enthusiasm and passion for helping those folks who are in our communities to be able to make their lives maybe a little easier.
So what you're saying is we need to do even more this year.
I would absolutely love it. I would love to see everybody who can to try to attend at least one. I can't give you the details, but I heard a little bit of banter when my friends at the Village and I were talking about kind of planning a little bit, and they're talking about doing an inversion tour. Now, we haven't gotten the details yet, but there will be some type of activity where there are 7 or 8, I think, parks that are going to be involved. And if you participate in all 7 or 8 events, then there is going to be like this kind of grand prize. But I haven't really gotten all the details yet. Just kind of wet your whistle a little.
Give us a little tease on that. Yeah, hopefully here in the very near future, they'll talk about, you know, which parks are going to be involved and what the days are. But we will patiently wait on that information. But, you know, my experience with Coasting for Kids events is I've done a couple events at the same park over different years, and each of those years was a completely different experience, had a different theme, all kinds of stuff. So, you know, if you've done it already at one park, give it another try, because they're probably going to be doing some kind of completely different theme, showcasing different rides, and that's another fun aspect of it.
Absolutely, and we had some people participate at Dollywood last year, and I'm from the Eastern Great Lakes region, so big shout out to my Eastern Great Lakes region friend, Dave Jackson, who actually put his beard on the line. This was really kind of cool. He put it out there to his to the people that were his donating team. You know, you donate so much, and then you get to tell me what I do with my beard, whether I trim it off completely. And if y'all know Dave, he's got a pretty fluffy beard, and he put it in their hands. I don't think it went all the way away. I think he trimmed it pretty significantly, but I was really impressed with the fact that he was willing to do that for the families. It made me sit up on the edge of my seat going, okay, what's Dave going to do? What are his friends going to help him do with this? And it was really kind of cool.
So kind of going back to the Village, if someone wanted to visit Give Kids the World as a guest, is that an option? And how can we help them by paying a visit to the Village?
It's not an amusement park. It is an actual secure resort that is just for the families that are there. But we can go to the village as volunteers. Mm-hmm. So if you are in the Kissimmee area, if you are in the Florida region, and you are down there for an extended period of time, or you're just down in the area for a vacation, a couple of hours of your time would make the world of difference to these families. You can't just go and call and say, hey, I'm coming. The volunteers have to go through a vetting process and an application process, but trust me, it's not difficult. They've made it really streamlined. So you go on the website, gktw.org, and you find the volunteer toggle. The application is basically your legal name, what's on your legal documents, a few other questions. How'd you hear about it? Well, you know, you heard about it from Ace Cares or the American Coaster Enthusiasts, of course. And then they will help you get through that process once your background, a really quick, easy background check has been done. And the village takes care of the cost of the background check. If you want to go and help for a couple of hours, serve a meal, you could even run the rides at Amberville. If you always wanted to be a ride operator, this might be your time. I know some of our executive committee and some of our other members during IAPA last year were able to volunteer a few hours, and our ACE president, Elizabeth Ringus, and her husband were the carousel operators for,
very nice.
For a couple of hours. And I know that our executive committee was there, and they helped with an evening party that they have every night. One of the things that they do at the village is every evening they celebrate a different holiday, because a lot of the kids are in the hospitals. So once a week, Mayor Clayton hides Easter eggs through the village and the kids can go find them. Once a week, Santa comes and visits because, you know, he takes some time and goes down to Florida when he's got a few seconds to be able to spare from his big job up at the North Pole. And they just have so many really awesome opportunities for the families to just have an enjoyable time and experience those holidays that they might not be able to. But to volunteer, it's just an application, a couple of questions. If you get into that place and you get stuck, just reach out by email to acecares@aceonline.org, and I'll pick that email up actually, and I can help you through it. And then you go through a video orientation, which takes maybe about 30 minutes, maybe 45 at your leisure. And then you're set up and you just go do your volunteer shift of a couple of hours or a couple of shifts or more than that. Hint, hint. I did a couple of shifts. My husband and I, when we were down at IAPA in 2019, I believe it was. And I'll tell you what, changed my life. I can't wait to get back there. It's been a while. My life was changed in those two opportunities to serve these families.
Yeah, I imagine being, you know, directly involved with what's going on there is definitely a once-in-a-lifetime experience. And, you know, we've talked about the gingerbread run and we've talked about coasting for kids, but and even volunteering. But if an ACE member isn't able to do any of those things, how can they still help and contribute to the cause?
Well, they can support any of the ACE Cares team members on the activities that we do. You can always make a donation to one of the team members' accounts to help them with their fundraising efforts through the Gingerbread Run or through Coastin' for Kids. There are other opportunities through Give Kids the World that you can do from home that you don't have to make a huge commitment, but they always are looking for folks who are willing to send birthday cards to families who have visited. So if that's something that you would like to do, you could contact the volunteer services and ask about doing something from home that is just, you know, just a couple of hours of your time. You'd be amazed at some of the pictures that I have seen on the Give Kids the World Facebook page of families getting these cards from other people because they were at the village. The kids' eyes just are beaming because somebody's thinking about them. Somebody's mm-hmm. taking a little bit of their day to write a little note and send a card. And just, you know, because as you're signing that card, you're like, you're thinking about the person who you're sending it to and just kind of sharing a little space with them. That's a big thing. But more opportunities, if you contact volunteer services, the phone number there is on the website, gktw.org. They can help you get you set up into something that meets your skill set.
That's awesome. I actually didn't know about the birthday card thing. That's really cool. And, you know, yeah, a little bit of sentiment definitely goes a long way. What are some other initiatives that ACE Cares is involved with? And other than the Gingerbread Run and Coasting for Kids, are there any other events that are coming up with the ACE Cares team?
We are working on a little activity. The folks in Western PA have gotten this down to a science. It's called Ice Cream for Breakfast. One of the things that I told you before that Henry Landworth wanted the week to be a week of yes. So they have at the village, they have an ice cream shop. It's called Henry's Starlight Scoops. And the building was created in collaboration with Disney Imagineering and Universal Creative. They came together to help design and to build and to put the items into the building so that they can have an ice cream shop, because Henry actually, I believe, really, that was one of his favorite treats. But if a child, a wish child and a wish family wants ice cream at 7 o'clock or 7:30 in the morning, they can go to Henry's Starlight Scoop and get a bowl of ice cream for breakfast. It's just kind of their thing. So the folks at Western PA caught a hold of that. And ACE Cares member April Lucas and her family has been just a driving force in this, that during one of the Western PA events, they offer a bowl of ice cream for a donation. And then they also offer cereal, like like Cocoa Puffs and Rice Krispies and Fruity Pebbles and chocolate sauce and all of those awesome things that you can put on an ice cream sundae for breakfast before ERT starts at one of their events. We're working on getting that put together. Last year, we were really grateful for Steve Gorman and the folks at Waldemere who really supported that adventure. And during that event, the folks who were at the Ravine Flyer event up there, up in Erie, raised a little over $200, almost $300 actually, for ice cream for breakfast. So it's kind of that's one of the initiatives. We would love to talk to other regional reps to see if they could work something out with parks for just one event. Mm-hmm. And it's an easy experience. It's a place where the park can help donate in kind. And it's just kind of fun to say, hey, we ate ice cream for breakfast.
Yeah, I'm down for ice cream any time of the day. So
I am too.
If that pops up, I'm ready for it.
So Jessica Gardner actually, during IAPA week last year, volunteered at the village. And that was where she volunteered. She sent a little video clip and she loved it. She said mm-hmm. that it was a job that she had had since she was younger. And she just really it touched her that just serving ice cream in the morning made so many people smile that it really touched her heart. And that was really kind of cool to hear that back from her.
A couple people from our region you know, helped out and volunteered there too. And they said the same thing, you know, super impactful experience, and they were really happy they could help.
If I remember right, they were able to operate some of the rides in Amberville.
Yes, yes.
That's kind of an ACE member's dream, is to be able to be the ride operator for a day.
Yeah, if you've never operated a ride and you want to operate a ride, might as well do it for a great cause.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's kind of one of the big things. We're focusing right now on Give Kids the World, but we're hoping in the future, as we become a little bit more confident in working with them, we can step out and help meet the needs at a couple other places with a couple of other amusement park and IAPA member industry leaders. I'm looking forward to making contact with a couple of other people who have said that they would like for us to be able to help them.
Well, Chris, it's been great having you on the podcast to talk about Give Kids the World. I hope some of our listeners end up at either the Gingerbread Run or one of the Coasting for Kids events. They're all a lot of fun. And of course, like we've been talking about, they go to a great cause.
So if anybody has any questions or any ideas or thoughts, just if you'd reach out to me by email, either kleach@aceonline.org or acecares@aceonline.org, and I will definitely get back to you.
Fantastic, Chris. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks, Bryant.
Thank you so much, Bryant and Chris, for that interview. And thanks to all of you for listening. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our podcast. Give us 5 stars if you can, rate and review. And if you have any questions, comments, or podcast episode pitches for us, please reach out to podcast@aceonline.org. We don't want you to miss any ACE news, so make sure you're always checking the website ridewithace.com. And don't forget, ACE is everywhere you consume your social media, on Facebook, X, Threads, Pinterest, LinkedIn. Make sure you're subscribed to ACE's pages on YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok, and Discord. Follow us everywhere to stay on top of all the coaster and park news coming out and to hear what your ACE membership has to offer. Thanks for listening. Hope you get to ride a coaster today.
Ride With Us is produced by the American Coaster Enthusiasts, a registered 501c3 organization. Visit ridewithace.com for additional information, and we will see you at the parks.